All right, Father, we're grateful for this morning and for your mercies that are new to us every morning. We think of the fact that we've already gotten through 1 month this year. It's gone by so quickly. And Lord, we're grateful for the joy and the peace that you've given us, even through uncertain times and even through trying times. So Lord, even as we're here this morning, all of us, as we seek to look into your word and to meditate on it slowly and to pay attention to it, Lord, open our eyes, open our minds, and open our hearts, Lord, to meditate on your law, even as your son delights on your law. We thank you and we praise you for all of us over here this morning. And Lord, as we come in faith, would you respond to our faith by helping us know you more, to love you more, to be obedient to you more, Lord, to trust you more, and to glorify you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so let's continue. We did the first six verses. Again, we're doing this psalm in layers. And the reason we're doing the psalm in layers is because I think one of the things that I did see was I didn't actually take us through the paces of going slow. And so many of us were trying to do all the layers at the same time, which is understand the psalm verse by verse and understand the psalm as a whole and understand how it's connected to everything. So I think it'll be good to just be able to slow down. And the first step is let's understand the psalm verse by verse. What's each verse saying? Understand the psalm as a whole, then understand the psalm in its context. I am recording here. Yes. Yes. Thank you for asking. Actually, yes. They can't find that recorder for some reason. So there is a recording that's happening. All right. So let's continue in verse 7. Verse 7, how many colas do we see?
Two.
What are the colas? By colas, I mean, what are those lines? So how many lines do we see? Three? Okay. There's three and there's two. What are the three? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. If you have four, chances are you're not reading it correctly because you either have two or three. Four means you actually have two sets of two. So there, Hebrew poetry doesn't have four colas. Never happens. It's either two or three. So if you find that you're having four, you'll have to rethink your pieces. Fair? Okay, the Lord. Yeah, so hold your thought. I want to know if Brenda, you said there are three. So what would the first one be? That's the first one? Okay. The Lord said to me, is that what you also had, Tyler? The Lord said to me, you are my son? Yeah? Okay. Okay, and then? Okay. If you had four, what would it have been? Did you, Z? Did you? Uh huh. Okay, so you would have put this over here. Okay. Okay. What do you guys think? What do you all think? Okay. Okay, what is the first one? I'll tell you the decree of the Lord. Okay, and then? So then you had this part up here. So that's here. And then said to me. Okay. Okay. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. Okay. I see. And then he and the Lord are parallel. Okay. This is actually pretty good group work. So the reason why you were able to do something different is you did a different version, right? You had a KJV. Thou art my son. Okay. Uh-huh. I will, that's ESV? ESV says, I will tell of the decree. Okay, but that's okay. I will announce of the decree of the Lord. Okay. Okay. Wow. I recommend for exegetical work and doing biblical work, like serious biblical work, that's probably not a preferred translation because it's called a dynamic translation. What a dynamic translation does is a dynamic translation is where the translator tells you what they think it means. Yeah. So that one, I would say, have your primary, secondary as like a KJV, ESV, NASB, NLTs, Good News, and then what were the other ones? Message. Those are called dynamic translations. So they're telling you the equivalent meaning is according to the translator. So it obfuscates actually the text. Now, the reason why I'm pushing for translations that are close to the text is because if you remember in our fundamentals class, what did we say about the doctrine of the scripture and doctrine of inspiration? What is inspired? The word, as in, no, but what specifically is inspired? What specifically is inspired? Is it the meaning? Is it the theology? What specifically is inspired? Correct. In every word in the originals, right? And so what you want to do is, and then by that, then obviously what they build up. So the inspiration goes all the way down to kind of the minute level, which is every word in the originals. So what you want to do is you want to get as close as you can to that. And the thing with certain translations that are dynamic, you can always look dynamic equivalence. If they categorize more in dynamic equivalence, is they kind of like fog that up, right? And when they fog that up, you can't actually do some study over there. So not picking on you, just as a example of the class. Sometimes when I said do many translations, one of the things I didn't qualify is what kind of translations. And it's good to take texts that are closer to representing the words that are in the text, either in the main body or maybe even a footnote. So try and pick those for the next time. Okay, so that's good. So you had said four colas. I wanted to actually explore that. What would you have done for four colas? Uh-huh. 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 Okay. And you are my son, today I've begotten you, would be parallel? Yeah. So you can't, we're not asking for relationships between two separate sets of colas. So what you would do is if you say line, so what I would say is if you have four, you actually have two sets of two. Okay? So if you have four, you have two sets of two, you don't have a set of four. So Hebrew poetry doesn't work with sets of four. They work with a set of two or a set of three. So if you have four, you probably have two sets of two. So what you probably have is, I will tell of the decree of the Lord, right? Depending on the translation. He said to me is cola one, cola two, one set. Separate set. And then you are my son, today I've begotten you, is a separate set, right? And it's a pair, so two different pairs. So all you have to do is ask how these pairs are working together. Is that fair? You just have to ask how the pairs are working together. So this is good. So what I would also recommend is you do line one, you do this. You kind of do, You kind of do this together, and then you do this together, and they're actually two separate pairs. Yeah, this is a cola, this is a cola, and that's a parallel. And this is a cola, that's their own parallel. Two separate. I know. No, a cola is a single line. So you either have two pieces of wood making fire together or three pieces of wood making fire together. You don't have four pieces of wood making fire together. Or one, exactly. So what you need to do is you say, okay, if I have four pieces of wood over here, I probably have two pieces of wood and two pieces of wood together. Or I've broken a stick in two where I shouldn't have broken it in two. It's four. Yeah, so you have two and two over here. Even though they're in one verse, you have two and two. So I will tell of the decree the Lord said to me. And then the second one is, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Okay?
First sentence is incomplete.
Yeah, but... Yes. But what I mean to say is this is a unit on its own, and this is a unit on its own. That's all. And so when you try to understand it, you're trying to actually say, okay, what does this actually say? These two lines are the same thing. I'll tell of the decree of the Lord, right? What is the decree of the Lord? Is that the Lord is saying to whoever the I is. Okay, so then you're going to see in the parallelism, right? I'm going to erase this. And this is going to help with interpretation. This is why it's important. Okay, I'm going to just erase the second line. I'll write it back again. But let's look at the two colas. I'm just trying to use the ESV because that's traditionally what we've been using. So... just been using that just to help you use the tools that you have on hand. I'll tell the decree of the Lord, right? So let me just do this. The black marker is a little stubborn today. Okay. So the first one is, I will tell of the decree. And some of our Bibles say of the Lord. Lord, right? And the ones who don't say of the Lord, if yours says of the Lord, it's going to say he. If yours doesn't say of the Lord, it says, the Lord said to me. Okay. So it's saying the same thing. What are the things in parallel? How does it help us unlock what's happening here? Okay. I would say do the decree of the Lord. And he said, okay? Okay, so this is where I think it's important we do something. This is grammar. Back to grammar, right? We have to ask, in this, you have the subject and you have the verb. Does that make sense? The subject is the one acting, the verb, right? Over here, what's the subject? I is the subject. So what it's done is it's flipped it, and it says, I will tell of something, right? This is the content, and it's the decree of the Lord, right? And so the decree of the Lord is then expanded over here to say, he said to me. So what I'd say is when you're doing parallels, try to at least group subject and verb together where possible so that you get the fuller picture. The decree of the Lord and he said to me, or the Lord said. Okay? And then what's the other parallel? Yes, good. I and me. Good. Okay, so the I is actually telling about something that the Lord said directly to this person. Now this I is telling everybody about it. Okay? And it's important because when you read Psalm 2, it's going to get super confusing about who's speaking. It's like getting a script. It's getting like a play script without any of the actors' names next to it. And you're going to go, okay, who's saying what and to whom, where? So it's important that you actually map out who's saying what to whom. Okay? Next, let's do the second part of it. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. What's line one? No. What is the decree? Oh, sorry. Yeah, you are my son. Okay. Mm-hmm. Today I have Where have you read this before in the New Testament? This exact phrase. No. Who? Someone said it. No. It's part of your study from last year with. Yes, Hebrews. Women of Westmount and Chapel men, right? It's Hebrews chapter 1. All right. That was just a quick trivia question. Okay, what's the parallel? Okay. You and you. Okay. And well, this is the like this is the equivalence, like, but the point is this. Son doesn't go with son. Son goes with something else. What does it go with? Sorry? Yes. What did you say? Begotten. Yeah, with begotten. Right? By virtue of being begotten, he is the son. And then what else? Yeah, good. Now, this my and I are not the same as the I from the previous cola. I will tell of the Lord's decree, he said to me. Who's the I in that, and who's the I in this? No. This is the Lord. The other one is? No. That's what Sinana said. Sinana said, the son, exactly. I will tell the Lord said to me. What did the Lord say to me? You are my son. Right? It's a son. And I'm pretty sure the son is not writing the psalm, is he? No. Ah, so you see how it's getting confusing over here. You have to track everything, okay? As I said, if you slow down, look at the pieces. I know we want to be quick and get the answer, but if we slow down and work, we're going to be able to untangle it. All right. Sometimes it happens when you're playing with yarn. It sometimes happens that there's a knot. And if you continue to just pull at it, what happens? It gets worse, right? Kind of have to slow down a little bit. Look at it closely, and then you need to like stick your nails inside there, or you need to stick your knitting needle in there and loosen it up a bit, right? And untangle it. So you can't just, this is all pieces of yarn. I know I said sticks, but they're all pieces of yarn actually. And if you just try to untangle them quickly, sometimes things get worse, all right? So this is why I said we need to slow down a little bit, look at the pieces, say how do things connect? Yes. Very good. This is why I said it's like a play without the narrator and the son and the Lord and all of their pieces, like the names taken out. So you don't know who's saying what line. You kind of have to reverse engineer the play. It's almost like you're listening to the play with a single voice and you're now saying who's saying what, which actor is saying which line. Exactly. That's exactly. Yep.
Verse 6, but that is for me.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Yep. It's not. That's the thing. Because this is why we have to slow down. And then you see the next one and it may go back to the first one again. So think of a play with all of the names stripped out. You only have the lines. And now you have to figure out whose line is whose. Right? And you can't just simply jump onto it and be like, oh, he's saying this. No, slow down. Right? That's what we're trying to do over here. And nobody cares if you get the right category for parallelism. Nobody cares, like I said last week. The reason we're doing this is to slow down. Slow down and look at it carefully and think about it. There is no award for getting the right category because a lot of the categories are made up, right? People observe the categories and then describe the categories. It's not like the Psalms came with a grammar book at the end saying, by the way, there are these categories. Can you try like figure them out, right? So the prize doesn't go to like match getting the right colas or getting the right categories. What we're trying to do here is just slow down. Slow down and look at it. Slow down and break it down. Slow down and match the pieces. That's the purpose of the exercise. If you're able to do that, you're successful. It's not about getting the right categories or 3 colas versus 2 colas or whatever. All right? That's good. That'll help you. It'll help you get there better and faster and be less confusing. All right. Is this good? Erasing. Next one, verse 8. It's like Psalm 1 was the, you know what? Psalm 1 feels like the practice exams my professors gave me. And this feels like the real exam. And the practice exams are so much easier than the real exam. So you prepare and then you go and you're like, wait, what? That was nothing. That the thing that my professor gave me was so much easier than what they actually gave me on the test. Right, so this is the more advanced version. It's easier than much easier than Psalm 1 is much easier than this one. All right, verse 8. What are the two pairs? Are there how many sets of colas are there? Or how many pairs? What are the two lines? Sorry? Only 2 colas in the whole thing? 3 colas? I don't know how to do the auction voice. Yeah. 3 colas? 3 colas, okay. So here's where it's like Psalm 2, I'm telling you, is just significantly more advanced than Psalm 1. It is. You are absolutely right. Yeah. Walk around for 30 minutes, come back, do a 5-minute job. Okay. Sounds like work. Water cooler, go chat.
Any suggestions? It is hard. You know what? This is why, if you have a friend, it's always good to do some of these things with a friend. I find that it's easier to do with a friend and bounce some ideas off of people. Yeah. Okay, let's do that. Line one. It's good. Okay, ask of me and I will make, okay? Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So how do these six work with each other? You can't do that. Then you know something's wrong. It cannot stand by itself. It can't. It's like taking, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like taking a cable that has a male end and a female end and just connecting it to each other and saying my circuit's complete. So it can't work with itself. It can't self-connect. It has to connect with the rest. Sorry, we don't have all the rules. It's only while we're doing this that like things come up. So but how is one and two interacting first? No. It flows this way. Read it backwards. Okay. So, it, yes. Okay, good. Excellent. Okay, good. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Good. Good. That's good. Good teamwork. Good teamwork. So yeah. So if you do that, if you make these two one cola, then you actually have two colas in total that are in parallel to each other. Now, let's figure out the parallelisms. What are some of the things that are parallel? Okay. Okay. Okay, good. Good. All right. So you have the first line, ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage. And the second line explains the nations and heritage because it doesn't really care to explain me and I. Is that fair? It doesn't really care. The second line doesn't really care to explain me and I. What it wants to do is explain what the nations are. That's the ends of the earth. And your heritage is your possession. Yes. Yes. You're asking, though, our second layer. We didn't touch that yet because we'll look at each line and then we'll put the jigsaw puzzle pieces together in our second layer. But yes, the answer is yes to that. Okay? Now, nine.
May I erase this? Okay. Feels like someone sanded this board and now everything's sticking onto it. Okay. All right. What's the next one? It's good. I like the teamwork. Okay. Okay, good. Okay. Okay. And then, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Okay. What's happening over here? Is this new information in the second line or the same thing as the first in the second line? Same thing, good. What's the parallel? No, we need full ideas. Okay. Okay. Now is it the same information? Yeah. Good. Very good. But then what about the top? But now we just have the two colas. So we didn't really find a parallel. Right? If I do this. What we're doing is good. We're trying different things out. That's very good. Don't be afraid to try the different things out. But now you just have the two colas. So obviously we need to, you can, but there are lots of words in there. That means we could actually break it down, no pun intended, further, right? Sorry? Okay. Okay, good. Okay, good. So rod of iron and potter's vessel, but are they the same thing? No. Okay, so but then it's not the same thing. It's not synthetic, right? They're contrasting. But the problem is those are contrasting, but these are exactly the same. Good, 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 good. That's how you're, okay, very good, very good. If I were to hit a pot with a rod of iron, good. Okay, great, great. Now, this rod of iron thing, what is the unique contribution of the rod of iron? What is it doing over here? To break? The pot, but I could break it with a karate chop. Yes. So, yes. I might. If I use my left hand, yeah, but not my right hand, right? Okay. Okay, so then that's within the same line, right? But how are these two connecting with each other? Tyler is onto something, but you need to describe what you're saying a little bit more. Sanana, are you saying something? Yes, exactly. So what we need to... So Tyler and Sanana, good teamwork, right, over there. So it's with a rod of iron is in pieces like a potter's vessel. Do you see that? And then you have break them and dash them. Does that work? No? Because in order to get them to break into pieces like a potter's vessel, I need the rod of iron, right? I use the rod of iron. Fair? So far? Okay. And this is important. The moment you highlight this, it isn't that the rod of iron and the pieces like a potter's vessel necessarily, you need to remember the connection between the two, but you're going to see some phrases highlighted that are going to come up later in other Psalms and other passages. Okay? Psalm 110. And then maybe even some people's children are going to be dashed in pieces later on. Okay? So what this does is this highlights phrases that stick in your mind. And then when you keep reading your scripture, you're going to see rod of iron. You're going to see potter's vessels. You're going to see a lot of those things. It's going to stick in your mind. All right? And what the psalmist is doing is the psalmist, because the psalmist is contemplating Genesis through Malachi, right? Right through. He's already bringing up phrases that they would have seen from Genesis to Malachi. So when the reader is reading it, they'll be like, oh yeah, the faithful reader who meditates on God's law is going to go, ah, I remember this. I remember this, right? I remember this. I remember this. They're going to identify the pieces. Okay, so this exercise helps us actually identify pieces that maybe the audience, the original audience, if they were faithful readers of God's word in their text, because they're reading and they're meditating and they're reading and meditating, would go like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Or maybe they might not get it, but this will actually tell them, hey, make a list and you have to look for these things later. Yes, Barry. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It doesn't. Good. You make a very good observation, by the way. And you make a good observation because sometimes words can have two meanings. And sometimes what the author does is he uses words with two meanings to sometimes show you a double entendre. Maybe those who submit will see a scepter and rule, and maybe those who don't will see dashing and a rod. Well, there are some that'll be vessels of clay because they continue to be earth creatures. And there are others who will no longer be earth creatures and won't have to worry about that, right? So sometimes you made a good observation. And sometimes reading a few different translations will actually bring that up. Say, hey, it says rod here and scepter here. Could it be the same word that has two different meanings? Could the two different meanings actually surface up two different responses to this ruler, right? So the ones who submit see the line of Judah, who's the scepter will not depart from between your feet. But the ones who don't see a rod of iron that's going to destroy them. So very good observation. Very good. All right. Next. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Let's try that one out. How many colas? Two colas. It's the safest answer, actually. And then if it doesn't work, you go for three. Okay, what is it? Okay, now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Okay. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Okay. Synonymous or opposite or more information or what's going on? Same thing? Synonymous. Okay, good. What's the parallels that are synonymous? The first one to answer gets the easiest one. Everyone else has to struggle. Ah, you got it. Okay. It's not O kings and O rulers. Can someone help? O kings and? O rulers of the earth. Good. Good. Get as much as you can in parallel. O kings and O rulers of the earth. Good teamwork. And what else? Yeah, be wise and be warned. This is interesting. How is be warned and be wise the same thing? It could be the same outcome too. Ahem, Proverbs. Yes. That's why Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? What is the fear of the Lord? Be warned. Okay? So those who heed the warning, those who fear the Lord are going to be wise because they're going to do what the wise thing is. You see that? All right, so who's he speaking to? You're going to catch it from this. Okay? Kings and rulers of the earth. Good. Next. How many colas for the next one? Two. All right, what are they? Is it getting easier now? Okay, what is it? Okay. Good. One. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Okay. Who's asked to serve the Lord? Kings of the earth. Okay, good. What is this? Is this synonymous? Is this contrasting? Is it the same thing? Is it opposite things? Is it new information? What is it? Okay. Everything is parallel, but it's what is the nature of the parallelism? It's saying the same thing. Okay, so what's the same thing? Okay, good. Ah, the first one to answer gets the good one, the easy one. Okay. Good. That's why be bold, be brave. All right. And? You know, it's something in, it's serve the Lord and rejoice. Because they can always serve anyone, right? But who should they serve? Serve the Lord. Okay. So what's an invitation? What's the invitation? The invitation is to come be a servant of the Lord, which is the same as rejoicing. They're related to each other in some way. I can't say it's the same thing, but they're related. Okay? So this should come into your mind and say, huh, next time I see serving the Lord, maybe I should think of, see if there's the word rejoicing anywhere nearby when I'm reading scripture. Does that make sense? What does it mean to fear the Lord? You know what our Bibles sometimes translate it to be? Reverence. Is this what reverence is? Is this reverence? This isn't reverence. This is reverence taken to like the nth degree. Right? Reverence is, you know what? I respect somebody. What is this? Yeah, he's going to kill me. Right? He's going to do something really bad to me. Fearing the Lord, it actually shows you what fearing the Lord actually is. Fearing the Lord doesn't mean, okay, I'll pay my respects to him. It actually may be much more than that. All right, next. How many colas for the next one? Okay, let's try that out. Okay, what's the first line? Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, I'll do the ESV version of that. Kiss the Son, lest and you perish in the way. Okay, what's the next one? Okay, good. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Is that two? For his wrath is quickly kindled. Okay. That's three. Okay. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. By the way, if you're doing versions, those of you who have the Legacy Standard Bible, don't use the NASB because it's kind of the same, right? So do something else like a KJV or ESV. Okay. So does everyone have the same opinion? Do we want to modify this? What are the parallelisms? This one's tough, yeah? Okay, so those are two colas, you think? So like, split this here. So that's one and two, is that what you're saying? Okay, and then? What's the parallelism for those? Okay, lest he be angry, okay. So it's telling us something more about his anger. Okay? Okay? And then how do these work? These are the next two colas then? Okay? How do they work together? Like at a very high level, they're opposites, but at like the micro level, they're not talking about the same thing, right? Yes, Robert, you were saying something? Uh-huh. Okay, good, okay. Good. Very good. So then what you're saying is these are two lines, two colas, and then kiss the sun. One second, let me. So what you're saying is kiss the sun is the same as, is parallel to this. And then for his wrath is quickly kindled is parallel to he be angry and you perish in the way. Am I correct in saying this? Ah, okay. Stragglers. What are you doing hanging out over here doing nothing? Okay. What does the class think? Silence is, yes, you approve, you like it. I like it. I was thinking the same thing too. It looks weird because it's super long, but he's also ending the psalm, so it's a little awkward. But yeah, I do think this is the only way you can actually have true parallelism, right? That you have kiss the sun and blessed are all who take refuge in him, and then lest he be angry and you perish in the way is parallel with for his wrath is quickly kindled. Right? And then you can find further parallels in there, right? How do you do that? You go, I'm going to use green. Where do you find the parallels between these two? Sorry? No. Not sun and blessed. Sun and something else. Him. Good. Good, good, good. Him. Good. Him. Sun and him. So then what else is parallel then between those lines? So sun, the sun is parallel to him. Okay, what else? Blessed is parallel to
kiss.
Sorry? Yeah. So, but it's not just blessed, it is blessed are all who, right? And then it's actually kiss. When you see a command, usually it's the word you in front of that, or y'all. Right? That's in front of that, but we don't say that in English. You kiss the sun, or y'all kiss the sun. You know what I mean? Right? So the implied you kiss is the same as the blessed ones. Right? Who take refuge. I will actually remove the word blessed, and I think the verb is actually all who take refuge. Okay, what other parallelisms do we see? There's an easy one here. Very, very easy one. They just sorry, yeah, exactly. Good. He be angry and his wrath. Good. Yeah. What else? You perish and yes. There is a contrast over there. But we did say that there's some synonymous. So the blessed is kissing the sun. There is a contrast, you're right. The contrast is more in, not in the parallelism technically. The contrast is actually in the bigger synthesis. When we look at the full psalm, that's where this contrast will come up. Because technically we've said that kiss the sun and this are compared to each other, and lest he be angry and you perish in the way, and for his wrath is quickly kindled is compared to each other. So I'd say just compare this thing, compare this piece with this piece over here and see what the parallels are. So we saw angry and wrath. Then what else? What about, I'm running out of colors, so I'm going to bring out colors I've not used before. What about perish, you perish, and then kindled, right? And then this is pink, in the way, and quickly. Okay? Any questions about what I just did? Yes. So in the way and quickly is, think about what is in the way in the Psalm 1 and 2. It's while you're walking. You haven't even, like, while you're having your life, that happens, right? There's no waiting for you to get to your destination, yeah, or the end. And then perish and kindled. Why? Because when his wrath is kindled, yeah, you perish. You immediately, your mind should go to things like Nadab and Abihu, the people that were consumed, even, you know, offered incense in Numbers. God consumed them. So you have to think of those. All right? All right, good. So this was a little long compared to Psalm 1, but I wanted us to slow down. Yes? Oh, yes. Sorry. You'll have to put your hand up higher. It's blending into your body. Yeah, yes.
Why is perish and blessed?
Mr. Robick said that they're contrast with each other. I said in the bigger synthesis of the psalm, we'll see the contrast. When we're doing the parallelisms, technically, you don't tend to like cross and complicated too much. So if I see that a phrase is parallel to something else, he be angry and his wrath is quickly kindled, I just then compare those two. And then you perish in the way and blessed are all who take refuge in him, you compare those two. But when we're reading the whole of Psalm 2, you're quickly going to see that he actually means to have a contrast over there. But the contrast is built over Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. Yes. No. Yes. So in order to have like true parallelism, where things parallel with each other, the only way you can group them is group kiss the sun lest he be angry and you perish in the way as Kola 1. And for his wrath is quickly kindled, blessed are all who take refuge in him is called Kola 2. And then the parallels are kiss the sun. Is then parallel with blessed are all who take refuge in him. Lest he be angry and you perish in the way is parallel with for his wrath is quickly kindled. Yes. That's... Yeah, it might be new information. That's okay. It might be new information, but it has to link somehow with something else. It just can't be like, hey, by the way, I'm here and I have nothing to do with anything else. Right? It could be new information. It could say the same thing a different way. It could say the same thing in an opposite way. For the way of the righteous is so and so, but the way of the the wicked will perish. You see, they're opposites. For the Lord, right? Yes, 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 yes. But sometimes in Hebrew, you have parallelisms. Like we think sometimes we think in terms of A, then the thing that kind of interacts with A. So like we would say in English, kiss the sun, because blessed are those who take refuge in him. Then we'll say B, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. That's how we tend to do it in English. In Hebrew, sometimes what they do is they sandwich things. So they sandwich things so that the thing on the outside at the top matches with the thing on the outside of the middle. And the thing in the middle, so it's like, think of a burger, like a double cheeseburger, right? And so what you're going to see is bun at the top, bun at the bottom, they relate to each other. And then burger in the middle, they relate to each other. And that's how this is working, right? For like, if you want to be nerdy, that's called a chiasm. See, right? But that's how Hebrew tends to work. It tends to go, and I laugh when I see this because this is called, I think of ABBA. That's how it works. So sometimes when you read even like stories in Mark, for example, a narrative, right? Like even New Testament narrative, you're going to see Jesus is doing something, then suddenly somebody interrupts him and something happens, and then he continues doing what he was doing before. And so like the beginning of the story and the end of the story actually relate to each other. And the stuff in the middle explains it a bit more, but he can't finish the story because he wants to show you another theology of something before he brings it in. So that's what's happening. So the kiss the son. So if you think of it as a burger, kiss the son and bless are all who take refuge in him are the two buns, right? And then lest he be angry and you perish in the way and for his wrath is quickly kindled are like the two burgers in the middle, the burger patties. Yes. I like that. That's good. Supersize this meal. All right, let's stop and let's continue with layer two next week. All right. Lord, we're grateful for your kindness to us. And even as we gather together, we're grateful for your son. And Lord, we come to him not as antagonists, not as rebels, but Lord, we humbly ask you that we would be subject to him. May his scepter and may his rule be what we declare today, that he is our Lord. We're grateful, Lord, that you have hid us in Christ. And because we are in Christ, as Paul says, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, Lord, we ask that you would allow us to rejoice because you have hid us in Christ. You have protected us from the wrath that is to come. And you have united us with Christ so that as you feel about Christ, you feel about us. As you consider his death and burial and resurrection, you think about us as having died, buried, and brought back to life. And Lord, help us rejoice at your marvelous work at bringing us Gentiles under this Jewish king. Even as he rules the nations, Lord, we know that if we suffer a little bit today, we too will share in the glory that is to come. So teach us, Lord, to suffer. Teach us to hide in him. Teach us to be strengthened by him so that you would be honored and glorified. Even as we sing praises to you, as we read scripture, as we pray, Lord, as we gather at your table, as your word is preached in all things, Lord, may you be magnified. May your son that you have set on Zion be glorified, and may we be made small. May we be made little. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.